Coffee Sketch Podcast is our take on the intersection of old tech and new tech, the space between the traditional practice of the hand-drawn sketch that has been performed by architects and designers for centuries, and the modern-day use of the hashtag as a representation of a sentiment or a movement. Each week we plan to deliver a new pod about our ideas, sketches, and what's going on in our daily lives as we pursue our love of architecture, design, and sharing this knowledge with the next generation. I'm Kurt, and I'm in Flint.
And I'm Jamie, and I'm in Austin.
Hey, Jamie. How goes it?
I'm doing all right.
I'm bringing more energy to this.
You are. This is where you are like sending me the lifeline and the life preserver and keeping me in the boat. It's been a tough couple weeks. So
with a podcast and you know, we can suspend disbelief.
Oh, you're using the fancy words on me.
And let people believe what they want to believe, and paint the picture that way. But this also will wind up being number 60.
Yeah.
We quickly went from 50 to 60. I guess as they say, right, as things age, time goes by in the blink of an eye. That kind of rhymes too. Right, so you know, we passed 50. We had a nice fun milestone, and not long after that, and I totally ruined that line. We're now at 60, and we're still in the pandemic. So,
right,
we
it's like a fine wine. We're aging gracefully amidst the pandemic, and trying to get creative with aspects of the podcast. So, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed we're probably going to need to up our budget for, server space with the host, the podcast host.
Yeah.
We're blowing our storage limits with our longer, but more matured matured podcast episodes.
Yeah.
And it's like the no news is good news. Nobody's complaining. If our listeners are out there, I have not heard of crickets.
No complaints about the length of these episodes. I mean, maybe people are breaking them up because, you know, that's what we used to do to make sense of some of this stuff.
Serialize our own.
You know, so with your, you know, keeping me in the boat, what's the coffee situation up there? I have not sent the care package yet that I mentioned in the last episode, but
I've noticed.
But but the coffee has been acquired, so
an acquisition,
and the acquisition has been made. You know.
Well, it's no pressure, but it's getting to be desperately needed. working down through my my not so recent acquisition of the Starbucks short run, or what do they call it? Special? What do they call those? Limited batch. I don't know what the heck they call them. The South Asian. What do they call it? I can't even remember now. I'm losing it.
You okay?
Don't have the bag in front of me.
Did you fall out of the chair? I mean, I actually have a bag in front of me because I wanted to read this to you because I knew that I had not sent you the stuff that I was going to send you. So I'm going to read it to you so you can get all excited and then go, is Jamie nuts? So you are going to get a bag. You might get more than this, but I'm just going to say you are getting a bag of the Little City, the Grackle blend. So yes, I'm going to send you a grackle blend. So it's going to be bird inspired. The grackle is very ever omnipresent in our city here in Austin. It is the bane of many in parking lots all across the city, in downtown, et cetera. And for my dog Tinkerbell, she really just doesn't like the birds. So the grackle, anyhow. It's also the symbol of one of the supporter groups for the future MLS franchise, the Austin FC. Anyhow, the grackle blend, as it's described here, dark chocolate and ripe berries that will give you the confidence to ruffle your feathers, raise your beak, and shriek at the sky. Well, maybe not, but we're confident that one day the grackles will not be content to scare the hell out of us when we go to the supermarket, so we figure we better start currying some favor.
That sounds awesome.
But it does, it's the chocolatiness of it is pretty good, so I have to say that.
Oh, thanks. I look forward to it. Take your time in sending that. And I think, you know, not because you advertised in the last episode that you were sending me a care package, but my wife and I had already thought of concepts for a care package going your way too. So, you know, this is how we do on the Coffee Sketch podcast. We look out for each other, co-hosts, you know.
Well, I mean, it's part of it is also like
remote.
When you go and travel with friends, you know, you know sometimes you bring something from home, you know, that's, you know, you kind of slip it in the suitcase and kind of, hey, you know, this is something, you know you'll enjoy from Texas, or, you know, something here from Flint for you. And so, yeah, in lieu of the travel that we would have done this summer, we would have already, you know, hung out by now, maybe more than once. You know, I think we're going to talk about some traveling in this episode. But in lieu of that, I think some care packages are in order. So,
yeah, for sure. And speaking of travel, I'm still struggling with the my credit card purchase of airline tickets to the national conference. I believe I've got it sorted out. I'm not going to name any names, but there seems to be a disconnect between my credit card company and the travel company as far as who got money and who is supposed to get money. And how Kurt doesn't have to pay any money for non travel, right?
Yeah, for not getting on the plane. Yeah, right.
Oh man, and since the conference is a month old, it's still lingering out there.
It's time. Yes.
Oh boy. So, but we move on.
More important things to. You know, I was going to say is, you know, in the spirit of the conference, which is always fun. And if, unfortunately, you know, we had several episodes for those who've listened before of us leading up to wanting to go to LA. And we were pretty excited about, we were building our own like personal itinerary beyond just the conference, sort of coffee sketch style, Kurt and Jamie hanging out. We were bringing in some cohorts, you know, to hang out with us. All that didn't happen, but I wanted to ask you before we sort of dive into these sketches, and it is podcast related. I did hear that there was a version of, some of our, friends who podcast, here recently that was associated with the now, indefinitely postponed AIA conference.
Are you? You mean you're speaking of the R-Cast?
Yes.
Or the
yes, yes,
yes. I was just gonna say too that even though conference didn't happen, the R-Cast did occur. So did you listen?
I listened to a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was posted on the. Inside the Firm on their podcast channel. So versus like watching it on the video replay or live. I don't know if you caught. I actually missed it live because I was, I think I had a meeting or something. But I was listening to it while after they posted it on their Inside the Firm page, and so it's cool. Some new names that would be interesting to cross paths with in the future, and as well as some familiar names and voices that we all know. Some Young Architects Forum friends, Laura Teagarden was on there, and Rosa Shang from California. So yeah, it was cool. Although I'm going to try and I'm going to tease at our friends at ArchiSpeak, Evan and Cormac, because it sounds like I'm gonna just put this out there. They're doing a little bit of a virtual touring of buildings on their podcast right now, and it sounds a little coffee sketch podcast esque. So I'm gonna take that as when you copy somebody is the highest form of flattery, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it. And I just hope that we sound as awesome as they sound when they
do
their thing.
I mean, they have definitely done their thing a lot longer than us, and they've been pretty generous with advice along the way for sure.
I'm surprised how long it's been.
Well, I mean, and one of the sketches that you have pulled up here, I noticed one of the people who comments is one of those co-hosts. So I would just say that, yeah, they've been, Twitter friends for a long time. And then, as we've kind of gotten to know them through the conference and then through our own foray into podcasting, I think anything that they're doing is something that we're pretty excited to see, and we enjoy it and are still learning what we're doing and hopefully sharing some good stories as well.
It's a friendly jab,
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's coming from Kurt, right?
I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. If it came from Jamie, oh my goodness, right? I mean,
Nah.
That's not a good thing.
So you want to do I put in one sketch from the feed that we went back in time a little bit for both of these, but I initially had the one and then I saw another, so I added it quickly on the fly here. So which one do you want to cover first? Do you want to go?
Well, I think, let's go to the second one first and then maybe circle back on the first. See, threw you a curveball there. There's my baseball reference, Little League in the house.
I miss baseball.
You miss baseball? Really?
I do.
Are you never told me you're like a baseball fan? Really?
I mean, I do enjoy baseball. I don't watch a lot of baseball, but I was just talking with a neighbor, outside six or more feet away. And, he's a big baseball fan. Born and raised here in the Flint area. So he's a Tigers fan in Detroit. He's watching as a total aside here, but he's watching on the local network. They just play reruns of Tiger baseball games, but they're only going back to all of the winning seasons and playing like all the division championships and all the World Series. So he jokes, man, I'm loving it, man. The Tigers, they just keep winning every night. Yeah, there's another game on. It's just another win. It's like getting spoiled, right? Because when, the Tigers, they have up and down, but, they have some generally good seasons. But, it's not like a normal season, right? Where you have wins and losses and all that stuff.
I thought you were going to say he was watching like I think there's I don't even think the Japanese baseball league is, maybe they are. It's Japan.
I think it's South Korea.
League is, yeah. I mean,
with no fans.
Yeah, no fans, but they've been playing. Yeah, they've been playing for a little while. So I think that was one of the earliest live sporting events that folks could.
Yeah.
Because their season just sort of timed out right. That they had gotten things under control and were able to institute it. So I know that a lot of folks were like, which team should I root for? Which, you know, what are the parallels between the...
Right. Who are the Yankees of South Korean baseball?
Yeah, who are the Detroit Tigers of South Korean baseball? Yeah. Who should I be rooting for?
You mean the team that trades away all their star pitchers?
Hey, yeah. You know, if you want to go baseball jokes, I mean, like, you know, Montreal Expos. I mean, you know,
yeah,
you gotta, they were like
one of the best logos in the game.
Oh, best logos. They had some of the best players who ended up being, you know, on other teams. They were like a farm team for like so many other franchises. You know, the 1 year that they looked like they were going to really run the table on folks, you know, of course that season never finished, because of strikes and all that stuff. So yeah. And then they became the Nationals. So they,
this
you know,
is, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Which, you know, and then the Nationals got Scherzer from the Tigers and then won a World Series. So, you know, there's a connection there. So this is actually the soft introduction to our new podcast on defunct sports teams and the players that made them.
And the players that made them great. Yeah. Jamie and Kurt talk sports that no one else really cares about. Yes.
Obscure sports with two architects.
Right.
Oh. This is great. Anyway, I do. So I like baseball. I grew up playing a little baseball. And
so what position did you play?
I was like second base, sometimes catcher.
Okay.
And then infield, played infield.
Okay.
And you know, I enjoyed. What about you? Played some little league?
Yeah, I played. I was a pitcher and shortstop.
And were you throwing with that left hand that you sketch with?
No, actually, that's the funny part, right? Is that I do the like big motor skills I'm ambidextrous, so so I pitched right, but I could switch hit. So
cool. Man, see, I'm glad I asked because I was, you know, you don't normally see a lefty shortstop.
Yeah.
But I mean, in Little League, you know, it's a little different than the pros.
Right. Oh, gosh. Not, yeah. Like,
But no, that's pretty neat, especially as a young kid, being able to work or, you know, bat both sides is not even those that learn, like, you know, there's some that, or probably there's those that learn it in order to get an edge, and then there's, you know, ambidextrous people like you who just kind of able to go, you know, swing on left and right. So our new podcast is going to be fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think we're just, you know, mark the tape. We're going to just take that. We're going to use that as our intro right there.
I will.
Feel free, Coffee Sketch fans, to give us some feedback on that. So
they're wondering at 24 minutes into this thing, they're wondering what the heck happened.
They're like, they talked about coffee for a moment and then it went right. Really far.
So where we went awry was at the curveball joke. Let's go back to the sketch, recenter. So what caught my eye was that it's five napkin sketches. So you know, this little cocktail napkins, square napkins, and you totally rendered the heck out of this little square with five different sketches, or five different napkins, different sketches, Pilot pen, and a cup of coffee. And I mean, these are like, one looks familiar. It looks like the Capitol Dome in Texas, but it couldn't, maybe it's not. But there's dome. Well, there's like three or four religious buildings, it looks like, with domes. Actually, maybe all five, but not all have domes. So anyway, what caught my eye was, but the architecture kind of looks like different snippets from different religious buildings, but all rendered very well. And if anybody's ever tried to draw on a napkin, especially with a Pilot pen, they should know how difficult it is to keep the ink from bleeding all over the place.
Well, and thank you for saying that, because, you know, I think, you know, what's important is when I posted these, I said, you know, can post these now. And then I put not the Arch Record magazine winners, because they have a contest every year for the you know, that cocktail napkin sketch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't tell them that it's a Pilot pen, you know, but man, I should get some extra points for that. But honestly, it's something, it's fun. I like to see that contest every year. You know, most of the sketches, I'm just like, oh wow, that person, you know, they rocked it. That's amazing. And there's only one or two every once in a while where I'm like, are you sure? You know, did you misnumber the entries or something like that for the winners? But, you know, I did do five here. They were intentionally sort of thematic in my own mind of places that I like to travel architecturally, and places that I've been more than once, are, you know, spaces and places that I just really enjoy. And you know, one of them, the dome, is actually the Oratory in Montreal. So on the top of Mount Royal, on the island, there's a large basilica, and the brother Andre was sort of keeper of this basilica, and then he ended up being sainted. So he's a modern saint. And interestingly enough, my grandmother and also my grandfather, my mom's dad and my father's mom, both met him when they were very young children. So, you know, saints within our lifetime kind of thing. So it's an important building for my family. And, you know, for anyone in Montreal, whether, you know, religious or not, it's iconic because it's sort of at the highest point in the city. And so you sort of, you know, can see it from all directions. And it's just a beautiful building. A lot of people make pilgrimages to it. So, kind of rendered it with that sort of familiar sky, that I started using on some of the, sketches last year that we were talking about. Here is actually one of the first times that I was doing it, in kind of this kind of format, super hard to do on a cocktail napkin sketch. The other religious buildings, four out of the five are religious. The fifth one is actually just kind of the one on the bottom is actually a piazza where the Juliet statue is for Romeo and Juliet in Verona. Mm. And Verona is one of my favorite cities in Italy. And I have lots and lots of sketches, lots of photographs from there. And so this was a space I knew, and a vantage point that I had in a photograph. So I worked from the photo on that. The two on the right are also from Montreal. And the one in the middle top is a Philip Johnson building in Houston, Texas.
Oh. Oh, yeah. We passed by that, right? Or, well, you told me about.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
chapel.
I think at St. Thomas. Was it getting worked on?
You're thinking of the Rothko Chapel. Yeah.
Rothko Chapel.
Yeah.
He did do that too, though.
He did that as well. Yeah. And the Rothko and this are within walking distance of each other. So we were, you know, a 5-minute walk from this building when we went and visited the Drawing Institute at the Manil.
Yeah, yeah.
On our way to Galveston. So
that's right. Yeah. No, they're all so cool. I mean, you know, the Pilot Pen. You know, it's very liquid, but it also is got a, you know, that metal nib,
yeah.
can snag on that tissue paper so easily and shred the paper or bleed out. And, you know, I'm glad I found this, and, you know, we didn't talk about it before, and now we're talking about it now. So
yeah, I'm not,
it's like, I'm celebrating the 60th.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at those sketches, at least the two from Montreal and then the one from Verona. And there's a lot of crosshatching in there. And yeah. I don't remember how I did that. And of course, these are cocktail sketches that I gave away to somebody, you know, in New York City at Architectural Record. And they probably used it for their coffee, but that's okay. That's, you know, or a glass of wine.
You have to mail in the physical.
Oh, yeah, you got to mail in the physical ones. You got to give up your sketches. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, crazy.
I was going to ask that. I'm glad that you mentioned it because I might have forgotten. Yeah, that's interesting. So you've got the photographic record, but the actual sketches are somewhere. It would be nice if they kept them somehow and made a thick, short book, or, you know, a small square book that's like, you know, I mean, how many thousands of sketches do you think they get?
Exactly. Or they could make coasters, as our friend John suggested for me. So yeah.
Oh yeah, he said he'd buy them. So you have one customer.
Yeah,
maybe two. You know, I'll pitch in.
Okay.
On behalf of the baseball coffee podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll pull it from that account. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, they're cool. So the oratory, I didn't make it to the oratory when I was in Montreal. Just getting up to the top of that top of Mount Royal. But I did make it to the Olympic Stadium.
Did you go into, I know that you were at least, I think you went to Notre Dame. So the one on the bottom right is Notre Dame. Uh-huh. And then
familiar, yeah.
Mary Queen of the World is the one on the upper right. And it's a scale replica of St. Peter's in Rome. So what you're seeing there at the bottom left of that, you know, again, you know, that's the, you know, the fun thing about these cocktail sketches, I think also that we didn't say before, is three of them, I actually turned the cocktail napkin, you know, to the diamond and drew it like a lot of folks notice I do with the sketchbook. And so in the one for Mary Queen of the World, the replica or the scale replica of St. Peter's, Michelangelo's St. Peter's in Rome, that's the baldacchino. So that's
the reliquary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I went in there as well. I think I did. Yeah, I did walk through Mary Queen of the World. So I got to both of those. It's kind of eerie. It's smaller.
It's smaller.
Overall, but still formatted, you know, very similar with the various little side chapels and stations and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, I think, you know, having been in both spaces, the one in the Vatican and then the one here in Montreal, you know, the details, you know, are remarkably similar. But that's the one thing about, you know, going to the Vatican, is just the scale of the space is just, you know, it's overwhelming and awe-inspiring just because of the scale of the space. But you know, it's fun to know that there's a building like this in North America that you can go into and really kind of, you know, walk the same plan and see a lot of the same elements. But it's, some of it's changed, you know, for that place, but it's an interesting building for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The diagonal, twist there. And, I love how you try to weave in another baseball joke, the diamond,
Yes. Yes, of course. Right. Both infielders. We're both infielders. It's all right. It's all good.
Oh man. So, you did say, so you wanted to start with that one and go to the next one or the first one. I don't know the initial sketch that I picked.
Yeah.
Is there a relationship beyond, and this was my introduction was, teasing out the hashtag of suspension of disbelief. But you sketched what, you know, again, I'll say what I caught my eye, was you have this really cool, spiral staircase, right in the center, and again, the sketch is kind of like on a diagonal, right in the center, and the focus, you know, of this sketch is the spiral staircase that is connected to buildings by cables, it looks like. So you have like this sort of canyon between, you know, two street walls of buildings, and this staircase floating in midair, almost like an art piece, installation of some kind, hanging on cables. So it's kind of, I thought, oh, you know, with all this, work from home stuff, and, you know, it's kind of fun to have something to imagine a little bit, like a folly of architecture or some sort of artistic installation. So I figured, well, let's, you know, I'll bounce this one off of Jamie and see what he has. And it's again, you know, we went back a couple of years, so it's one that we hadn't talked about. So that's what I'm seeing right away.
Yeah. I don't know. This one is, it's you know, December 2018. And actually, this one is drawn in situ. So this one's drawn on site, and it's not a. I mean, there is a suspension of disbelief that this actually exists in real life. But yeah, this is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Oh.
And okay. So I had gone on a short little vacation trip up there, and. Got to tour the city for the first time and, you know, saw a lot of interesting architecture, a lot of different spaces, enjoyed a lot of good food. And, one of the things that, you know, as you know, you and I've talked about sort of our penchant for being sort of the architecture junkies who are, you know, getting ready to take a trip. We've talked about the convention, you know, ad nauseum. About, you know, what we were planning to go see and, you know, having a list too long to go visit everything. But yeah, this was one of those things where you're moving between spaces, moving between sites, moving between parts of the city and stumbling on a really, just as you said it, a public art piece. And so this art installation just really obviously, you know, kind of caught my eye and tried to render it as quickly as I could in my sketchbook. And so this is one, I didn't put the time on it, but it is a quick sketch. And it is what I learned afterwards, after sort of doing a little investigation about the piece, It's called Architectural DNA. And it was a literal spiral staircase that they plucked out of a building that was across the street. So it's not one of the two buildings that's in the image. It actually, from my vantage point, it actually would have been behind me. And it was an old hotel building, small hotel building, that was about 110 years old at the time that it was going through a renovation. And they determined that this spiral staircase wasn't code. We're going to get rid of it. And somebody, was smart enough to think, wow, you know, there's something, you know, there's one more life for this thing. And so they turned it into this public art piece and suspended it between two buildings, literally across the street from the Marion Hotel in Oklahoma City. I think it's an apartment building now. But yeah, it was a public art project called Architectural DNA. And thought it was really pretty remarkable to find it. And, and I think that that's the thing is that, you know, as architects, when we're sort of doing our urban explorer kind of, vacations or business trips that turn into, well, hey, let's just, turn down this one more street over here and, take a peek. Oklahoma City, was sort of that for me. I was, it's a pretty walkable city. I mean, for the size that it is. And so I was able to really get out and see a lot of downtown. The city's obviously known, for a sort of a dark moment, the bombing in Oklahoma City, in 1995 and there's a memorial on that site, which, for any architecture student who was in school in or around that time period, was very, very conscious of those events, me being living in Texas at the time. But from an architecture and design standpoint, that was sort of a thing that people did, was they tried to memorialize these events and the victims, and try and, capture it through a design exercise. And I think, people right now are questioning, how to do those things and what stories we're telling. But but certainly this was one that was always interesting to me. And I hadn't shared this with you before, is that when I was in school and actually in grad school, I believe, I did my undergrad and my grad work together, so at the same place. But I think I was in grad school at the time. Two designers, it was a competition for the Oklahoma City National Memorial, and two designers who were a husband and wife team. I'm not sure if they were married at the time or shortly thereafter. Hans and Tori Butzer, they won the competition. And what was sort of interesting about it was, they weren't even in the country when all these kind of events, I think were going on. They were working abroad in Germany. And I remember those things, and think about those things in relationship to this space and this design and sort of my own education was, when they won it, they were super young still and sort of figuring out their career. And what was interesting was they ended up coming and speaking at A&M and gave a lecture about winning the competition and were moving through the design process, and they were sort of nearing completion on the memorial itself. And it was very for, very interesting, for them to kind of, come and give a lecture to hear that process, from designers who were young and, in national competition. I'm not sure if it was international. I don't remember. But it was just very, very interesting to see and kind of hear them speak about it. And, it was something. But then at the same time, it wasn't very far from where I'm living, and I'd never been. I'd never been to Oklahoma City. So on this trip, this was certainly one of the sites that I wanted to, spend some time in and kind of, it's a very solemn space, very reflective. And especially at Christmas time and the holiday season, it's kind of a sad, it takes on a very, very different tone, I think. But I'm glad that I was able to see it.
Yeah. that's really cool. So I do remember actually when this was completed, because it's been a long time since I actually looked at these images before I kind of pulled it up on Google Images, but I remember when they completed that, because it is quite a striking design composition, I suppose. It's the way those kind of chairs are situated, and the plaza with the fountain and all that as included, right? All the sort of anchor points at the end of this reflecting pool,
right?
And all that.
Well, I mean,
do you remember?
That's the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
they vacated the street there.
Yeah, so they vacated the street, and it's a very, very, very shallow reflecting pool. And what's interesting is a lot of the photos of this, and I think that was the thing that I was going to mention, especially in the context of this episode and in the context of the art piece, is very, very seldom do you see a photograph of the surrounding context where you see this memorial from the edge, but not the finished edge, looking from the inside out, but always from, not from the outside in, but always from the inside out. So you sort of lose the sense of the context. And I think what was interesting and able, to walk around this site is, suddenly you're going down the street and there's this gateway, this portal, that's very, very solemn and very, very rendered in a particular way as a gateway, as a terminus. And it's clear that the street would have continued through. There's nothing else to indicate that it wouldn't have. But you're not able to go through, in a vehicle or really pedestrian. I mean, you have to sort of move your way through the site. It's not just, I'm just going to walk through the portal and here I am, I've arrived. That entry sequence is very, very deliberate. And because it's also a disruption, I think that's the thing, is that the pool that's reflecting is also a scar. And it's a scar within the city, not just on this site. And I think that's sort of an interesting thing that you really, really can't experience, in a photograph. It's something that you have to experience, by visiting. Yeah. And I think that's, we're all sort of stuck at, in our respective homes and, in very, very small orbits around our house. And it's that penchant for travel that we're not able to do right now. And you kind of brought it up earlier in the episode, is, a lot of us architects, that's, it's something that we really long for. I mean, sort of exploring spaces.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate the thorough explanation of this space and the connection to that travel of yours to see that staircase. And actually kind of, the one thing I wish I had you know, sorry, that's the staircase was a real thing. Sometimes, you know, your sketches kind of fictitious things that think like, oh, that'd be a cool thing to do. But that one was real. So you caught me there, and kind of think we could maybe we could try and pull it off in Austin or Flint with another building's old staircase.
Oh yeah.
At least we can look to that one as a precedent of execution. But it's almost like, oh, you know, I was trying to find a sketch that, you know, had some ideological or conceptual roots for a lot of the hybrid sketches, but not like the current theme,
right?
And you actually wound up finding a real place. So the spiral staircase does kind of have that double helix appearance of DNA, because you have the treads and then you have the handrail, offset 3 feet or so. So it does have this sort of the two parallel strands that kind of wrap around. So the concept of DNA of architecture, really interesting idea, I think, is, just thinking about DNA. Because recently I've been doing a little reading of Christopher Alexander. We're mostly familiar with pattern language. I don't know if I've mentioned this already, in the past episodes, but I got the book Timeless Way of Building, which is his first book. It was a birthday present. And, it has a lot of the setup for like what a pattern language are. I'm sure you're familiar with the pattern language, right?
Yeah.
And so the idea of like the DNA components of architecture is one way to interpret how Alexander writes about individual the patterns, right? Like the little components of spaces that make up a language of architecture, right? It's the essence of the book or the theme. And Timeless Way of Building is also talking about like, the sort of the individual nuance of every space, right? You know, the bricks were stacked over on this house differently than that house. So that imbues like a different characteristic. Still a brick wall, but it's different and has its own sense of being, right? Because of its maker, right? Whoever laid those bricks, different from that house. Material, color, all those features, the way the sun hits it is really something I've trying to return to as far as we've talked about my interest in technology and computation and how that impacts architectural design. But it's also, I think, valuable for me to remind myself of some of the core fundamentals of design and thinking about design is in observation, right? And this another thing about like, sort of weaving it back to travel is like when we go places, right? We just kind of, when you're in that space, like you mentioned in this memorial, your own eyes are taking it all in. And, if I was standing next to you, I would be in the same place, but still perceiving it in my own way. And that's how, what I think is the exciting part about this profession is everyone will have a different way to interpret what is coming into their eyes and going through their brain and then being output by their hands. And the good thing is it's, as far as, not being able to travel, it's not like you forget how to do it, so it's like a bicycle. You won't forget, but
right.
You may want to, you know, jump at the opportunity of travel though the next time, or we can do that. But yeah, so you know, that's my last update of like, you know, what I've been reading lately, because it helps me imagine things a little bit. Or, you know, it's sometimes it's fun to have some reinforcement on that imagination, right? Making spaces.
Yeah, well, it's like
all that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of you know, tales like that and stories. I mean, is that they, you know, they do give us that opportunity to kind of, you know, bend our minds a little bit. And I think travel does that. And, you know, sketching for me has always done that. And I like the fact that, you know, that this particular sketch, when you suggested it, and it kind of popped up, I was like, yeah, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, wow, that's a surprise. And it's like, this is something that I would see kind of imagined in my head. You know, of those sort of deconstructive realities. And, mm-hmm. You know, and public art is something obviously that we've talked a lot about, and it's of interest to both of us for sure. And I thought this was sort of a unique find, you know, in the coffee sketch archive, you know, that I think, you know, kind of, you know, lifted my spirits in terms of thinking about travel again. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. It was a fun one, kind of a impromptu in a sense, as unscripted as we are, it's even probably the least scripted attempt.
Well, thank you.
I'm just giving away all the secrets.
You're, it's, you know, I clearly, you know, we had a plan because of all that, you know, we had to drop the future baseball podcast. So, I mean, all right. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good night. Thank you for listening. We both hope that you enjoyed this episode of Coffee Sketch Podcast. Our theme music is provided by my brother, who goes by at Cold Fashion on Instagram and Twitter. Our podcast is hosted at coffeesketch.buzzsprout.com. Find more show notes and information from this episode. And finally, if you like what you heard, please rate us on iTunes and share us with your friends. Thank you.